Hello and welcome to the Bringing Rural Back podcast, where we help you live a more prepared and sustainable life today so that you can have a better tomorrow no matter what. This is your host, Greg Carter, and this is episode number 45. In today's episode, we're going to talk about developing skills. I'll be honest, I've tried to record this episode 6 different times and it's been 4 different subjects. Holy cow, did y'all hear that? And I've just scrapped it every time because I just didn't feel it, I reckon. I don't know if that's good or not, but anyway. So, we're not going to do any chores today. We're just going to talk as we get ready to hit the back roads headed home. Skills are something that it's a really big deal to me. And I'm talking both hard skills and soft skills. So we need to talk about what the difference is. Now, when I was trying to do some research, trying to get ready for this episode, I did a search on the importance of skill development. And every single article I could find in the top 10 was on soft skills. Now, what a soft skill is a skill that is not quantifiable via production. Okay, now that's team building, problem solving, communication, teamwork. They're strongly centered on interpersonal skills. Now they're important. You know, it's a really good idea to be able to communicate well. A lot of my life is based on communication. When I'm teaching classes, when I'm talking to you on the podcast, when I write up a blog post, when I do a YouTube video, all of those require a communication skill. My relationship with my wife requires teamwork. You know, at work, I work by myself, so it's not a real big deal, and I just, you know, I throw in and I do, and I've created my own method to the madness and everything like that, but occasionally I have to either help somebody or I have to get some help for whatever I'm doing, but most of the time, I'm out there on my own. Problem solving, in my opinion, is probably the most crucial of the soft skills, if you wish, that there is, because I feel like in a lot of ways problem solving has been neglected in our education system. We have kind of defaulted to the things that'll show up on test scores, and problem solving doesn't always show up well on a test score. Problem solving has to do with recognizing the situation and creating alternative methods of being able to fix the situation, to make it better, to improve a standing. So, you know, it's not really valued much by the current school system. And I'll be honest, I don't know that it was really valued all that much when I was in the school system. And I was in the school system a long time ago. It feels like a long time ago. But the way I grew up, we were constantly having to figure out ways of doing things. Okay? So the soft skills are important, but there's a lot of focus on them, especially after you get out of school, and certain ones are focused on really heavily in the governmental school system. The hard skills, however, have gotten to a point where they're kind of frowned upon unless they're specialty skills. Now, what do I mean by a specialty skill? You know, we've gotten to a point where they frown, people, the society frowns on anything that you can do without a college degree. And that really just bugs the fire out of me. Now, do I have a college degree? Yes, I do. I sure do. I worked my way through my associate's degree, and then the company that I worked for at the time, due to foreign trade, shut down a plant, and I was one of the lucky ones that got called out due to the plant shut down, and the government and my former employee paid for me to finish my bachelor's degree. So I actually was able to get a bachelor's degree without any student loan debt whatsoever. And I did it without a single Pell Grant. So, you know, when people say that there's not a way to do it, I'm not really one to talk to. Because, I made it all the way through my associate's degree, working 12-hour shifts at night, getting off work, showering at work, going straight to school, sleeping for about an hour in my truck, going to class full time, then going home and crashing, and then getting up and going to work. And I did that when I was 30. So when people tell me that there's not a way to do something, I'm not really the one to tell that to. Okay? Now, I appreciate my degree, but other than for my own personal exploits, for some of the things on the podcast, some of the things on the blog, I don't use my degree in my employment. I don't know how much it's really benefited me, but that's beside the point. I do have it. It's there. But hard skills, you know, even in college, unless you go into a technical field, they don't really teach those. Now, we are fairly lucky where I am in that one of the community colleges is one of the best technical colleges in our state. They have an incredible robotics program. They have a machinist program. They have auto body, auto mechanics. They have refrigeration. They've got all these things. But even in that, they try to teach you to specialize. And, you know, specialization is fine. But you really need to develop other skills other than, you know, refrigeration or auto body. Okay? Because we're almost to the point where the days of the jack of all trades, the master of some, are gone. The guy who can build a house and everything that's involved, there's not very many of those folks left. Nowadays, if you get a house built, even a custom-built house, what you do is you go find a contractor, and the contractor knows how to do all the paperwork and jump through all the legal hoops and all of this, and he maybe has somebody that designs up the plans, and then he has a whole army of subcontractors that do everything else. You've got one guy or a team of guys that does all the electrical. They don't do anything else. You got one guy or a team of guys that does all the plumbing, nothing else. Framing, painting, sheetrock, all of that, stonework. There's not a lot of people that can go in anymore and pour the foundation, do the block work, build the house, run the electrical, do the plumbing, do the finish work, and then be done. And do every bit of it with themselves or a small team of guys. Even in our area, that's very uncommon nowadays. And what's even more uncommon is to meet somebody who can sew and can and build a cabinet or a bunch of shelves or do basic mechanic work. Now, I know a man, he's a doctor, and he's a prepper, okay? And he's made the statement that said, yeah, if things really go bad, then I'll be really valuable then. I'll be just as valuable in a post-apocalyptic or a post-crap-hit-the-fan world as I am even now. And I said, okay, sure, yeah, okay. Well, do you know herbals? Well, no. Well, then how are you going to get all the drugs that are necessary if something like that were to actually occur? Well, I've got a stock of some of it, and some of it I will just have to figure out. I said, but you don't do herbals, so how are you going to figure it out? He didn't have an answer. So he was so specialized that he ignored even related fields to what he did. Somehow, in his mind, even if society crumbled, he would be able to get all of the equipment that he's always had and all of the supplies that he's always had and be able to rock right along. Now, skill development is not just for preppers. Skill development should be for everybody. Now, there is a bright spot in the otherwise what I would call almost a dirge of skills, and that is the homesteaders and the preppers. So I realize that to some degree I'm kind of preaching to the choir, okay? I do realize that. But when you look around and you go, okay, I don't know how to knit. It's not real high on my priority list, but it would be kind of cool. Now, I'm a fairly rough and tumble kind of guy. I like the outdoors. I like to hunt, and I like to fish, and I like to garden, and I love wild edible plants. If you've ever watched my YouTube channel, you know, I've got 21, 22 videos of my YouTube channel that is just dedicated to foraging wild edible and medicinal plants. But at the same time, you know, I know how to sew. I know how to embroider. I know how to cross stitch. I know how to can. I know how to cook. I know how to iron. I know how to weld. I know all of these things. And it's all because whenever a situation occurred that I needed a skill, I just taught myself. Some of them I was taught by others, but most of them I had to teach myself. When confronted with a situation, okay, I wrote a blog post a long time ago. I think it was called DIY or DIFM. Okay, now, a lot of people know what DIY means, do it yourself. But the DIFM is do it for me. And we've kind of developed a do it for me mentality. When we bought our home, it's a double wide. Now, we moved it in on the property that we had, and the property's paid for. And we had all of these things that had to be done before the property could, before the our double wide could be delivered and set up and everything, and we could move in. And it never occurred to me to hire somebody to do those things. Now, I realized that if you are one of these high-powered, high-paid people, that there is a cost-benefit formula that you can do that will determine whether or not it's cost-beneficial for you to do a certain project, okay? Now, you know, knitting, since I talked about it earlier, I don't know how. All right? I don't at all. And if I wanted a knitted boggin, specially knitted boggin, I would have to decide, okay, I make X amount of dollars, I can buy a boggin for X number of dollars. And you know what? It would be cheaper for me to buy a boggin from somebody who knows how to knit than it would be for me to teach myself and then make a boggin, because I'm sure the first one that I made would wind up walker jawed. Now, if you don't know what walker jawed is, that's just messed up. But now, see, mechanic work, I'm not a great mechanic. I'm going to tell you straight up. Now, I do a few things, and the older the vehicle is, the more I can do. But most of the time, unless it's something major, I'm going to fix it myself. Now, the reason that I'm going to fix it myself is several. One is it saves me money. Two, if it's something that I've never done before, I can get the old Chilton or Haynes book. And let me tell you something, that they're getting harder and harder to come by, but there are still some out there. Everybody should have a Chilton or a Haynes book for your automobiles. Now, what that is that is a book that is written by a mechanic that has lots of pictures in it that shows you basically pretty much everything that you would ever have to do to a vehicle. And what you do is you just, you know, a prime example, all right? My boy has been driving my old Bronco for, I don't know, 2 years, maybe 3 years. And it got to where it was overheating. And he's moved out and everything. And we looked at it and all of this. And I'm like, well, you don't have any leaks and hoses or anything like that. I said, I tell you what to do. I said, you bring the Bronco over Saturday to the house, because, like I said, he's moved out. I said, we'll change out the thermostat. I said, it's the only thing it can be. So he brought it over. We got out the Haynes book and looked it up. And I thought it was going to be pretty easy, because I've changed out some thermostats in the past, but I'd never really changed it out on the old Bronco. And sure enough, it was pretty easy, and we got it done, and we were able to change out the thermostat. But I will never have to look at that book again to change out the thermostat on that vehicle. It's a new skill that I've added. Now, there are lots of books, and there's lots of YouTube videos. I've got YouTube videos out there. I've got YouTube videos on, you know, basic stuff. How to turn off the water to your house. How to do some basic safety stuff all the way into the wild edible plants. And I'm actually fixing to start a series on gardening. And I love YouTube videos, because you can look at them, you can watch somebody do something, you can watch somebody build something, and they're going to give you instructions, and they're going to talk you through it, and it's very helpful. But here's the thing. You cannot really learn how to do something using a video. I mean, it just cannot be done. You can learn the basic mechanics. You can get a good idea. You can have head knowledge, but until you have hand knowledge, it doesn't serve you real well. Until you actually get off your duff and do it, it's just theoretical. Well, I know exactly how to do that. Really? Do it then. Okay? Now, my wife, she's a real big fan of the Big Bang Theory. Okay, and it's funny. I'll give her that. And I actually hung out with some of those personalities when I was in high school, and I probably was one of those personalities when I was in high school. I just hadn't figured out who yet. But there was an episode. Actually, there was a couple episodes, but one in particular that springs to mind was, I guess, kind of the main character. Sheldon Cooper had taken an online course on learning how to swim. And he was convinced that he had learned how to swim on the floor of their apartment. And that he was convinced that the skill set would transfer. Okay. It may. Can't say that it absolutely won't. But that's what a lot of people do when they do the YouTube videos to learn how to do something if they don't actually practice. Now, I'm encouraged by the folks that comment on my videos where they go out, especially my Wild Edible series, they go out in their yard and they'll email me back, or they'll leave comments, or they'll comment on the Facebook page, "Hey, I found that plant. It's so cool to know what it is." Now, the difference is they didn't just sit in front of their computer and went, "Oh, that's what that is." They took that knowledge that they got from me, from my research and my history and my grandfather passing it down to me, and then they took that, and then they got their rear end out in their yard or out in the field, and they went, "Okay, is this it? I'll take a picture. Okay." And then they were able to add something to their set, to their skill set, to their knowledge base that they would not have been able to do otherwise. You cannot incorporate a skill into your life by simply reading a book or watching a video. You have to do it. Now, hardline skill sets are things like knife making, welding, carpentry, sewing, knitting, crochet, making cheese. Oh, I'd love to know how to make cheese. But I don't have a milk cow. Okay? And you got to get the bacteria and all like that. But I know people who, they make cheese. Candle making. You know, all of these are skills that, if you're a prepper, are going to be good if something cataclysmic occurs. And if you're not a prepper, it's still going to enrich your life. I am of the opinion that every time that you learn a new skill, it helps you in other skills. Now, as an example, and I may have told this story before, and if I have, just hear it again or hear it for the first time. So, everybody was into this pallet furniture. And my wife just oohed and aahed over this pallet furniture. And we weren't in the house for too long. And we didn't have any bedside tables. So, I just decided that I was going to make her a bedside table. And I was going to make it all rustic looking. And I was going to make it out of pallets. Because I was able to get them really cheap. And I was able to make something that would be nice, that would fit our decor, that would be functional. But I wanted to put a drawer in. So I drew out the plans. And with me, unless it's something that I spend a lot of time on drawing the plans, the end result never actually looks exactly like the plans. It's real close, but it's never exact. And especially using pallets, because you've got different shapes, different sizes of lumber and all this stuff. But in general, you get a good general idea and everything like that. Well, I had always, every time that I'd ever built a drawer, I'd used a center rail, single latch drawer slide. Well, I found some side glides for really cheap. And I picked them up and I thought, yeah, I'll put this drawer in and all like that. And I don't have an extensive workshop. I do most of my stuff the old way. I use hand tools and everything like that. I don't have a planer. I don't have a chop saw. I don't have any of those things. Not that I'm opposed to them. They're on my wish list. But you know what? Just to be honest, we're not some of those folks that can just go out and buy whatever we want. We have to budget everything in. We scrimp and we save, and we do the best we can with what we got. So I had the end table, the bedside table, with the exception of the drawer, done in about 4.5 hours. And then I started working on that drawer. And I knew in my head, I had drawn on paper what I wanted it to look like when I was done. But like I said, I'd never used that type of slide before. Well, in order to make that slide work, you had to have your dimensions accurate to within a 64th of an inch. Now, if you're doing everything with hand saws, in general, if it's within a quarter of an inch, you're good. It's very difficult to use a hand saw and get something within a 64th of an inch. I bet I rebuilt that drawer. I don't want to exaggerate. I bet I rebuilt it 9 times. I went through lumber. I went through 2 pallets just building that drawer. Kind of broke my heart, but at the same time, I was doing it for my baby. You know, I wanted it to be something nice. Well, I finally was able to finish it. And that's a skill now that I can add. And everything builds on something else. Well, after I built her a bedside table, I was able to build me a bedside table. And, you know, it took me 3 weeks dinking at it a little at a time, getting frustrated and quitting for a day or two in order to finish that drawer when the whole bedside table took me 4.5 hours except for the drawer. When I built mine, it only took me 6 hours to do it, including a drawer, because the skill was there. It was learned. So, what I want you to do, pick a skill. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's basket weaving, which is kind of cool, but it's kind of complicated at the same time. I don't care what it is. Pick a skill. Work at it. Once you get fairly proficient at it, you can set it on the shelf. Dear Lord, I know I do. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I picked up cross stitch. I can tell you the last time I sewed something up. It's because my wife needed a pocket sewn on her scrubs. But every time that you learn something, you make your life a little better. And if the world comes to an end, you definitely make your life better. Okay? Well, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope this finds you well. We're getting back into it. We've had a bunch of junk happen with the family, and I've had a couple of injuries lately and had to deal with those. But we're back at it. We're going to kick it off, and we're going to do you a good job, okay? Step by step, we're bringing rural back. I hope you have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.